Romans chapter 12. You know, I've read this and gone through it, and many, many times, so have all of you. And I thought we should do it again and remind ourselves of what it takes to do the will of God, to walk with Him, and to manifest the things of God in our lives. You know, God in the manifestations was talking about being discouraged and reminding us that His word is there, His power is there, and He's always there. And I don't think we can be reminded too often of these things. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, it's by His mercy that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable or logical service. It's logical because of everything that's come before in the book of Romans. When you read what God has done for us through Christ, when you read of the deliverance that we have and has been done for us, for everything that the Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished, it's just logical that we would do whatever we got to do for Him and live this way. And it says, be not conformed. And I don't want to go through all of the, but you guys, don't be molded to this world, but be transformed, transfigured by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God wants you to prove His word. He wants you to prove the promises. He wants you to prove Him, that He is always with you. He wants you to, He wants all of us to have a real practical experience with Him. That's what changed my life when I got in the Word. I realized God is answering my prayers. Somebody told me to pray. They told me how to pray, and then I prayed, and it was just remarkable. And I thought, well, maybe this is, you know, maybe it's just, what do they call that, circumstance or
coincidence.
So I prayed again, and He answered the prayer again, and I prayed again. And then I realized, okay, it ain't coincidence. And the deliverance, but I want to, but I absolutely want to make the, it wouldn't that have been any deliverance for me had it just been intellectual. There would have been no proof to me of any intellectual reading that would have said, yep, God's really there. Now that came later. That came later. But the first thing that God proved Himself to me was when I stepped out on His word. I either prayed or I did something else that His word said, as I had been taught in that fellowship that I attended, I did what it said, and then I watched God bring it to pass. I certainly knew that I did not muscle this. I certainly knew that it couldn't be, after so many times, coincidence. One of the things was abundant sharing for me. I mean, that was one of the big ones, because I would take the, after I learned this and I started to practice it, and I realized things are going just so well. How does anything go that well? I mean, you know, and I had so many blessings. I asked for a set of tires and somebody gave me that day. I mean, who walks up to you and says, hey, I got four tires. I think they fit your car. You want them? And when I was in Rosedale, and they did fit the car, and they were brand new, and they were just, and it was some guy I didn't even know, just in the neighborhood. My point is, I used to go in the backyard and burn 10% of my money to give to God, because I didn't trust the preachers. I didn't trust the guy with the little skinny tie in Ohio.
I didn't know any of these people. I knew everybody was a thief, a robber, a scam artist. But the thing that the coordinator of that fellowship did for me personally was he said to me, prove it. If God doesn't answer your prayers, John, he said, I can't do a blessed thing for you. Go someplace else. So if God doesn't take care of and do his word, then I guess he ain't God. You know, and he asked me a question. He said, Jesus Christ said this. Did he lie or did he tell the truth? These were just basic, you know, straightforward, practical challenges that he would give me when I learned something in the scripture, whether I would practice it or not. I mean, that was the essence of my first years in the scripture. And like I said, back then I didn't know how to read. Mary taught me that as time went by. I didn't sit around. I listened to teachings, but I didn't read much in the scripture myself. I kept that under wraps. I faked that pretty good. But it was proving him. And this is what God wants us to do. Prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. Prove it. And then it says, verse 3, for I say through the grace that is given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself, don't think more highly than you ought to think, but to think soberly according as God had dealt to every man the measure of faith. What is the measure of faith? Okay, because we're not to think above it. We're certainly not to think below it, but we are to think soberly, you know, with a sober mind, a very stable mind. It's not one that's deluded. It's not one that's silly. It's not one that's just undisciplined. It's a sober mind. It's a stable mind. We think soberly according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, all the members have not the same office. We are supposed to think what the word says according to the faith that we have. Now, how much faith do you got? You know, I have a heck of a lot more today than I had way back when. I saw so many more miracles because everything was brand new to me. But you know what? I see plenty of miracles today. And I see plenty of miracles with God's people. And I've seen plenty of God's mercy throughout the church. I can't say I see less today. I'm just... What is the word? I am less surprised. I'm not as surprised. It's old hat. It's really old hat watching deliverance at times. It's old hat reading the scripture, and all of a sudden it stands out to you, and it's really the Lord working within you to teach you something and to bring something to back to your remembrance. But it's old hat because I've been doing it for 30, 40 years. And that shouldn't be. Every time God works within us on anything, that should be like, wow. But maybe we're thinking a little bit above what we ought to think. I don't know. I mean, you think of that then, you know, oh, I'm so special. I can get used to God working with me. Maybe that's a little bit, but at the same time, practically, that is true. I mean, when you get used to something that happens on a regular basis, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But it's something to look at, something to consider, something to you know, rethink about in your own head and heart. In verse 4, it says, for we have many members, and all the members don't have the same function. Everybody in the Christian body has got a function. What yours is, what mine is, I know this much. We all have Christ in us. We can all operate the manifestations. Not everybody chooses to do it. We can all perform the ministry of reconciliation, which is our purpose here on earth. I mean, that is our mission. And a bunch of other things. Other people, then you can get into very specifics, what you're really adept at compared to something else. But everybody's got one. But we all have the same big things. Verse 5, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one is a member one of another. And I was thinking about this when I was thinking about you go into the hospital. I went to the hospital and visited one of the believers. And I was amazed at how many people there were there doing all different kinds of jobs that were helping people in the hospital and the person that I was visiting. But I was amazed that, you know, the guy who sweeped the floor, he came in the room, he's sweeping the floor, he's keeping the place clean. It helps keep the patient healthy. Every part of it is necessary. And you know what? Nobody is successful doing any of their work unless everybody else works together. I think it's the same on any job. You know, when a building project's going up, again, one part depends upon the other. The safety of one crew depends upon the responsibility of a different one. All of those things, everything works together. That's the way the body of Christ works. We depend upon each other. And that, like I said, you got the big categories. You got compassion and prayer. But you also have the little things that we do and that we help each other with, you know, if we have opportunity. So having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Now, this is talking about prophesying. Some of you guys are very adept at that. Some of us aren't. But praise the Lord. We prophesy according to the proportion of faith. You do it to the best of your ability, no matter how you do it. Or ministering, different areas of service. That's all ministry means, is service. Let us wait on our ministering, on our service. Let us get busy serving. Or he that teacheth on teaching. Again, everybody can share the word because we're all called to the ministry of reconciliation. Now, whether you can hold somebody's attention for 20 minutes or not, that takes a little bit of work. And sometimes it's a gift from God and has nothing to do with natural ability. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that rules with diligence. He that shows mercy with cheerfulness, and then let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil. Hate evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly, affectionate one to another with brotherly love. Look at the practicality here. When it gets down to get busy doing the thing you know how to do and do it with all of your faith. Do it with the faith that you got to do it with. And then love without hypocrisy. Huge. And be kind, affectionate one to another. You know, these are things that we can do. We can do this with brotherly love. We honor each other. We honor the fact that you are a child of God, you are a believer. We honor each other. and we treat each other with respect. You know, the rules of society were in etiquette are pretty much the same, except this has got to be from the heart. We honor preferring one another. We're not lazy in business. We are fervent in the spirit, serving the Lord. We're not lazy in lordly business and God's business, but we're fervent in the spirit, white hot to do the job, serving the Lord, rejoicing in the hope, patient in tribulation. We all got trouble in the flesh, everyone. Every single believer's got trouble. Mental pressure, trouble. Plain trouble is, I like that better than mental pressure. We all got troubles. And we continue instant in prayer. We're constantly in prayer. We distribute to the necessities of the saints. We're given to hospitality. You know, isn't the best thing that you can do to move the word is invite people into your life and into your home and teach them the Bible. Get the opportunity to share what's going on. Learn about them. Bless them that persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one to another, but mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Don't be condescending. And be not wise in your own conceit. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Boy, this is hard. Hard. And it says, provide things honest in the sight of all men. And if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. And don't avenge yourself. You know, God's going to take care of everything at the end. It's all going to come out in the wash. Look at, you know, this think. Go back to 12:2. Don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, the newing up of your mind. This is how you prove the word. To new up, or to put a new word in your mind, to change your thoughts and put on God's thoughts. In Romans 8, there's two ways of thinking. And I'm pretty sure that there's two bottom line ways of thinking. One is to think carnally, worldly, and the other is to think godly and spiritually, according to his word. It says in verse 6, it says, the carnal mind, the five senses mind, the worldly mind, the mind that we were grown up with, that never seems to leave us, that particular carnal thinking is enmity. is death. You follow that carnal mind, you follow that worldly thinking, you follow what works in the world, it's eternal death. For God is not, but to be spiritually minded is life, and I think that's eternal, and peace. To be carnally minded is to be an unbeliever in the world in which we live. Simplest term I can use. To be an outright unbeliever. And living like that will be death eternally. And living according to God's word will be life eternally. Verse 7, Because the carnal mind is enmity. It's an enemy against God. It's totally contrary to God, the senses mind. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then that they that are in the flesh, talking about walking in their carnal mind, cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh. Now, we are breathing, living people, right? I mean, we still got this. But we are not in the flesh if we're walking according to his word. We're walking by the Spirit. We're walking by the mind of Christ. We're putting on the word of God. We're living on a different realm. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. This doesn't apply to you. You just don't belong to him. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. See, the body is dead. We crucified it when we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord. He died. God raised him. Therefore, we know that we are dead and God will raise us. It's living in that mental, spiritual truth. That is what I have to put into my brain and walk like. And recognize it as real. It's not just words on the page. I no longer live by the flesh. I live and discipline myself and think the word and the things that the word teaches me, and I prove those things to be true so that I can walk in deliverance and really see the things of God come to pass in my life and in my heart. I mean, when you're on your deathbed and you have peace, it's because you know you've got eternity in front of you. You may be sad you're going to leave your loved ones behind, and they may be sad that you're going, but you know that I'll see them again. I'll see you again. So but look at where I leave off. 10 says, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. And whose righteousness has done this? In chapter 5, it's Christ. That's why we have a choice to either walk according to the flesh or according to the Spirit. We got a choice because Jesus Christ paid for it with his blood, with his body, with his sacrifice on the cross. He gave us and ministered to us, transferred to us his righteousness, and he took upon himself our sins. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Christ from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken, make alive your mortal bodies by the Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are not debtors to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if we live after this flesh, after the old nature, after the carnal mind, you shall die. But if you, through the Spirit, do mortify the things of the body, you blow it up. You cast off the old man with its deeds. You renew your mind, put a new thought in your mind, and walk out on it with God's word, and you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. See, there's a lot of people who have confessed the Lord Jesus Christ, a lot of Christians out there that have fallen away, a lot of people that have given up, I had some of the best teachers I ever knew are gone, and they're gone. I mean, badly gone. People that I held up, they were like, wow, I'd love to be like them. I'd love to be able to share like them. I'd love to have that kind of get up and go and leadership. And yet some of them turned out, I know one in particular, he just says, I don't believe that anymore. You know, I don't believe the Bible anymore. And he lives like hell. And he ain't going to make it unless he changes. He's just not going to make it. Anything that he did good for the Lord, he did. But according to God's word, he ain't going to make it. Those that are led by the Spirit of God, they are his sons. And when we are not led by the Spirit of God, we really can't exactly say we're examples of being great sons of God. We can always ask for forgiveness, get back on track, start walking. You know, God knows that we're going to sin. God knows that we fall short. God knows all these things. There's no question about it. But it's those that quit for good and that really do commit treason and turn their back on him in an overt way and don't do anything, man, then they've lost their, potentially lost their eternal life. It says, for you have not received the spirit of bondage. You did not receive the spirit of bondage. You know what that spirit of bondage is? I used to think it was a devil spirit, but the context of Romans, the spirit of bondage is the one that Adam gave to us when he became a man of sin. It's the sin nature. That is the spirit of bondage, again, to fear. But you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father, Father, Father. And the spirit itself bears witness with our spirit. God himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if we're children, then we're heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time, all the stuff that's going on, all the stuff that will go on, and because it's going to get, I don't have to be a prophet for this. The scriptures tell us it's going to get a lot worse. Whether it be in our lifetime or after our lifetime, it's going to get a lot worse before our Lord returns. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Wow, what a verse. What a verse. No matter what the hell is going on in my life, no matter what is going on, persecution I can face, it would be better to die with God on my lips and his word on my lips and holding it forth than to be afraid of the eventual death, because everybody dies, right? But knowing that whatever it is that I go through, it's nothing compared to what's coming. It's so worth it to go through that. Just don't give up on the Lord. Don't throw in the towel. And, I really do believe when we read this word, we really read it and we realize that these human beings who are prophets and disciples and people who walked with the Lord, that most of them had a really bad life. I think, you know, that was downplayed so much in our reading of the Bible and people teaching other people in the Bible that people really expect. I used to expect that I would have an abundant life and everything. And I can't say that my life isn't. It's very rich. It's very wonderful. It's very rich. I got a loving family. I got a home and a roof and it's a warm house, and I got food on my table. So I am a rich man. And I got people that love me and I love. I got people that I share the word with and they share the word with me. That's a rich life. I got, you know, stuff. Everybody's got stuff. But that's a rich life to have those things. Food, raiment, they would be content, I think it says in Timothy. When we really figure it out, I think we have had a very easy, rich, wonderful, beyond what most of the believers I've read about in the Bible have had. You know, and it's certainly beyond the leaders that were in the scriptures, that the people move in the Bible. I think, you know, maybe the day-to-day folks, you know, the people going to fellowship back then, you know, they didn't have that kind of, but maybe they did. I don't know. Doesn't talk about them. But I do know that the ones I can read about, Paul, Peter, the apostles, I know that they were almost all of them, with the exception of John, was killed because of their faith. They were all martyred. I know that the prophets, this was not a great job to have if you wanted to have a nice life. But I think that they would probably argue with me, what are you kidding, McCabe? I got to walk with God. Yeah. It's so much, it's so worth it. It's so worth being buried in crap up to your neck. It's so worth being beaten and nobody want to be your friend. It's so worth because I got to walk with God. And for those that are spiritually minded, I think they would agree. I know the Lord Jesus Christ would, because he said to his guys, he says, you guys are going to hear things that the prophets desired to look into. And nobody who's given up anything for my name's sake won't receive, you know, tenfold. I forget exactly the quote in the kingdom when it comes. So that's what I wanted to share with you. I love you all very much. I'm very thankful for you.